On Robinhood Radio, it's time for the Media Beat from David Tereshchuk, his weekly review of media coverage. David is a multimedia journalist with an online column at themediabeat.com and has reported since 2012 for the PBS network, mainly on ethical issues. He is also the author of a memoir, A Question of Paternity, Life as an Unaffiliated Reporter.
This is David Tereshchuk with my last The Media Beat of 2024. For the weekend beginning December 27th. The end of a year is traditionally, across all media, a time for looks back, reviews of the year, summings up, and the like. My own annual habit, developed over 20 years of my column in print and then this broadcast and podcast companion piece, has been to indulge in some holiday fun at the expense of some journalistic mistakes that were made over the previous year. Long-time listeners might recall the kind of thing I've highlighted, for instance, the sports section headline about a new Oakland Athletics lineup. Amphibious pitcher makes debut. Helpfully, the following paragraph did explain, Pat Venditti becomes the first pitcher in 20 years to pitch with both arms in a Major League Baseball game. The four syllables the editors meant to use were probably ambidextrous, right? The trouble is, though, in our current communications climate, that we've gotten to the point where harmless amusement over honest, innocuous mistakes has been driven to the margin by the often raging, deliberately inflamed fury about so-called fake news, and about that queasy-making sobriquet, the lying press. Such a well-established trope now from our current president-elect and his supporters, we should remember its roots, I'd emphasize. It's a direct translation of the Nazis' single compound word Lügenpresse, as repeatedly voiced by Adolf Hitler and his chief propagandist Joseph Goebbels. With a different approach from my past efforts at jokiness, this year-end I want to cite one thought-provoking 2024 development, perhaps even an antidote to all that Trumpian sound and fury. And it even has a digital media dimension. And for once, this isn't just some advertiser's come-on, a clumsy claim to have up-to-the-minute modernity, but it does involve that supposedly cutting-edge entity we constantly have dangled in front of us, artificial intelligence. The project I want to foreground emanates from MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. They have a not-yet-so-famous department with another set of initials, the CCC. Those letters stand for the Center for Constructive Communication. What a concept. Constructive communication. Let me quote from their mission statement. CCC's work combines the ancient wisdoms of human conversation with emerging digital technologies to promote shared understanding and trust, rather than reinforcing the side-taking and binary thinking that too often divides us. This obviously means the CCC is running determinedly counter to just about every recent trend in social media, and most so-called legacy media too, certainly most mass media. And how does the center think it can pull off this offense against divisiveness? It aims to foster respectful, open dialogue, by employing a range of tactics. First of all, small is beautiful has become the center's motto. It aims to bring small groups of people together, since limiting group size is the key to meaningful conversation. None of that self-proclaimed nonsense here about, quote, the wisdom of crowds, unquote. And the road to small groups for MIT runs through a partner organization. It's a non-profit called Cortico. The name is a made-up word that carries associations of both an arch and a public space, plus a suggestion, I'd say, that a brain might be important, as in our cerebral cortex. The point of having a partner like Cortico, says the MIT Center, is to, quote, efficiently transfer academic research from the lab and deploy it into scalable projects in the field. The field is, of course, as it would be for all social scientists, you and me, and these days all our various devices with screens and speakers or earphones. And we are, again, to be addressed in small numbers, so it's important for Cortico that it is a non-profit. It needs to be quite unlike the megacorporations such as Meta, embracing as it does all of Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp and Threads. Meta and the other digital giants are obviously wedded to making profits, and for that they require advertising, and therefore huge numbers of consumers. At base, what Cortico does is to both practice and further encourage communication in a three-step process, which they label talk, understand, share. In that order, I will underscore. Cortico's order contrasts with the habit common among us of instantly sharing material we've just seen without fully understanding it. And please don't claim to me that you've never done that. The three-step approach is enabled or reinforced by an analytical process, and here is where artificial intelligence comes in. But AI's machine learning is not used to replace human discernment. It can never do that. It more simply and practically just provides some analytical shortcuts. While facilitating its conversations, Cortico says it can, thanks to its AI program, spot and identify important themes that crop up across a broad range of exchanges. Local public radio, not surprisingly, has been quick to join in this experiment. Across cities and rural areas throughout the country, radio stations have, with the participants' permission, of course, listened in and recorded Cortico's gatherings of ordinary people ranging from farmers to foster care workers and even demolition derby drivers. Stephanie Rivera, who's an audience editor for Colorado Public Radio, says it was good to, quote, listen to people I don't normally reach out to or get the opportunity to talk to, bringing them together in a space where they feel they can open up, and that in turn allows for nuancing, for rich conversations. Such conversations were conducted through several weeks in the fall, against the background of the presidential election, which unequivocally showed what a deeply divided country we live in. They took place in widely spread locations that included not only Rivera's community of western Colorado, but also Oregon, Oklahoma, Kansas, northern New York, New Hampshire, Florida, and other states. The national network, NPR, naturally had an interest in bringing all the local stations' work together under the banner headline, Seeking Common Ground. The resulting hours and hours of recordings were subjected to close examination using the AI tools developed by MIT and Cortico. In NPR's own cautionary words of explanation, quote, we only used the AI tools to analyze the conversations, not to generate any content. That's NPR policy. Everything we do is written and edited by real people. What the analysis did highlight was a definite and widespread eagerness, even maybe yearning, among people to communicate both within and also beyond their communities, however those might be defined. Above all, there clearly emerged the human desire to be heard and seen, and especially not to be categorized by other people's perceptions. A Kansas woman, Alba Lopez, whose family immigrated from Mexico, wanted to disabuse potential visitors to her neighborhood of their fears they would have the tires stolen from their cars when parked there. Dominic DiLorenzo, a Florida physician who is Muslim and wears a hijab, raised her children to be, like her, fans of Harry Potter. She said, quote, people thought it was really unexpected of me and my family to do that. I don't like being put in a box. Similarly, Brady Pearson, a Colorado cattle rancher, said he and his family felt vilified for being part of an industry seen as polluters, while in fact, he says, they are environmentalists too, and, quote, we want the best for the ground and the earth. I, for my part, want to wish everyone well for 2025, which is to dawn in just a matter of days now. This past year has been a time when I've talked about myself more than I ever have before. Since I published my memoir, A Question of Paternity, Life as an Unaffiliated Reporter, and I've dwelt quite a bit in the book and in interviews about it, on my family origins in Scotland. We Scots are renowned, maybe caricatured, for not indulging in superlatives very much. We don't like exaggerating. From childhood, I learned never to say Happy New Year, as the English do. Instead, we moderated a bit, saying just, have a good New Year. And incidentally, we spell good, G-U-I-D. So this is what I wish you, a good New Year. A year, let's hope, with less stereotyping of others. That's all from the Media Beat for 2024. If you have been, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, David. We will talk to you next week. David can be found at themediabeat.com.